Me and a couple friends, we were talking about it, and we were just kind of thinking, I think the game would be better that instead of just candy for, like, individual Pokemon, they should all just count towards the candy sack so you can, like, promote one more than the rest if you want to actually, you know, take down gyms and everything. So, like, if you catch a Weedle or something stupid, you just use that candy to power up your Charizard even more.
Yeah, I mean, I understand and don't disagree. I think that you should be able to, I think individual Pokemon should earn XP at different tiers, should generate a candy. So no. Like if you use like a Charizard, for example, to, like, fight a gym.
Mm-hmm.
It takes over, you know, like, say, for every Pokemon that it defeats, let's just randomly pick a number, right? Based on its CP, it generates, like, 5 to 10 XP. And then every, using an arbitrary number, say, every 100 XP, you generate an additional candy of that type. This way, the most Pokemons, the faster you generate can for those guys. Because the reward system for actually battling and doing the gym fights for the individual Pokemon. Because if you're going to use somebody at a gym consistently, especially if it's a rare Pokemon, like this, I have the one Charizard. I haven't seen him, right? And I have like all the time in all the fights. And I can barely keep up with EV candies and dust. And it would just make a whole lot more sense to me if I could do that. Or Snorlaxes, right? Like, I have is in every gym fight because he knows Lick, which is a ghost move, which beats up Executors, which are very prominent here in our area. If I didn't have him, he would be really difficult to get through a lot of these gym fights. Have like 5 or 6 executors in them. Because I can't seem to make a good Flareon to save my life. So, I could changes. Before we get into actual magic, though, what do you think about the daily reward program? And as it started for you?
I haven't turned the game on since the Halloween event stopped.
Turn yourself out on the Halloween event?
Yep, pretty much.
No, I'm still having a good time. Like, the wife and I still go out. We probably went out more now because this is the time of year where the weather starts getting nice here in Kansas, finally, for a walk. On days that we don't go, like non-arm days for the gym. Instead of going and doing leg day, we instead just go like for a 2 or 3 or 4 mile walk or whatever and catch Pokemons.
It's not even close to the same.
It's not, but I already carry around an extra 100 pounds all the time. And I can spend one day a week doing legs at the gym. Instead, get her out and walking and moving around to kind of fill out her exercise scheme. And if it gets her out and moving and going, I'm pretty content with that. I'm worried about my legs right now. I'm more worried about getting my saggy man titties gone. What? Nobody should have saggy man titties. I'm pretty sure.
My man titties don't sag.
My man titties sag pretty bad, so I gotta get those gone. Then I'll start worrying a little bit more about everything else. But
this isn't a podcast about man titties or sagging. This is a podcast about Magic the Gathering.
Theoretically a podcast about Magic the Gathering. It was perfect. You did a great job. Keep going. Keep it rolling.
No, that's it. That's all the intro they need.
That's all I have. Yeah. There's no, you're Travis. Right. I'm seeing this. This is Two Trolls and a Brew.
Nope. Good show, everybody. Time to call it a wrap.
Episode 56, getting ready for GP Denver. Subtitle, how many planeswalkers have you met? None of that. None of that's important.
Yeah. No, it's all irrelevant. The important thing is getting rid of saggy man titties.
Exactly. We got to get that stuff's unnecessary. As I'm sitting here drinking a sugary drink. It's all juice, all natural juice. No shitty flavors or shitty sugars.
So is mine.
So is yours? I don't know. Yep. I just watched you eat like 8 Kit Kats over there.
Yeah, that's why I did the air quotes.
I'm sure they're made of bad stuff, my friend.
All natural.
I mean, it came from this planet, right?
Yeah, sure.
How can it be bad for you?
Exactly. Like oxygen or Democrats. Or Republicans.
Well,
let's politician.
Into troll cards. We're going to save our hate for politics for the end of the show. So if you also would like to partake in some politic hate, stick around for the end of the show. But right now we're going to talk troll cards. We're going to talk Lost Legacy and Deadlock Trap. Which one do you want to talk about first, bro?
Let's go with Deadlock Trap.
So I was scrolling through the Gatherer looking for troll cards, and I found Deadlock Trap, and I'm like, is this even a Magic card?
See, now,
I think I've ever seen this card before.
Now, what upsets me about you questioning this, we try and like say how we're big fans of MTG Goldfish.
Yes,
and
I do.
His Turbo Fog deck used like 3 Deadlock Traps.
Is he playing it?
Yeah.
Much time this week to look at anything. Like usually this week on the weekends is when I get an opportunity to like catch up on stuff. Chance to do hardly anything. So is this a newer deck or is this an older one? I just missed it.
It's newer, like last week.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't had a chance to really look. I got to watch probably a little bit of the MTG replay video this week where he retouched on like a mono metallurgic summonings deck, which Remington and I put together his previous version that he highlighted, and Remington played it and did not care for it. So I'm going to take a look at it and see if this new version's a little bit better for us. But I have a feeling we're not going to play it. Sad, because I really like a lot of those cards, and I want to get a little bit more use out of them. So yeah, I don't know. I can't say that I really. Like I've seen the artwork before. For those of you who haven't seen it, it's like this really sweet picture of Chandra plugging her ears and Liliana or. Kind of like the reflection, so she's like locked in a box. The artwork's really sweet. It's just I didn't realize what this card even was or what it did. So for 3 mana, it's an artifact that enters the battlefield tapped. You get 3 energy counters. Tap it, pay an energy, tap target creature or planeswalker. Its activated abilities cannot be activated this turn. That's really huge right now.
Yep.
Being able to lock down a planeswalker for the turn during their upkeep before they can activate it is actually pretty strong.
Yep.
Planeswalkers like Gideon are really popular. I'm using Chandra's left and right. Sorin's kind of dominated last season. I'm kind of, like I said, I'm surprised I haven't seen this card. Well, I definitely think in my Mardu deck I'm going to have to put in extra artifact removal now for knowing that this card is out there.
Yeah. Is there artifact removal in standard that's red and black yet?
We have a.
Oh, you said Mardu. Never mind. You're good.
Yeah, like we have the goblin that blows up an artifact, right? And you have the white sorcery that like blows up a thing that costs three or less for a single white.
Four.
Four or less.
Yeah.
So like we have some artifact removal. I just wasn't on my radar. I didn't realize that there's something quite so damning. I'm also kind of makes me wonder if I want to run this thing in my own sideboard. Again, like I said, there's so many strong planeswalkers out there. And the fact that this also.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh,
It
free
also
comp?
taps a planeswalker, too, technically, but.
Yeah, but it's more the thing that I like is it's pre-combat. I don't want to get hit by Ulamog.
Yeah. That also was assuming that they didn't exile this with Ulamog when they entered the battlefield.
Right. They didn't. They're stupid. That's why
They're bad at
they're
magic.
playing Ulamog.
So yeah, I don't know. I just was scrolling through this, and right now I'm playing. Well, I'm experimenting with the Panharmonicon deck that you gave us a couple of weeks ago. Which is not very good.
It's fun.
I don't know. I keep getting in these situations where I'm trying to get like any action card to just like go off, and I just can't get it.
I have a word of advice. Play it better.
I'll just pull my head right out of my bum then when I sit down and play the deck, and clearly that's all I'm missing.
Oh, see, there you go. At least we got that out of the way.
It is generating huge amounts of energy that has no payoff. Like what it needs.
It also, see, and when I was playing it, or one of the versions that I'm playing, it has that three drop dude that whenever you put a land into play, hold on a minute. Whenever you put a land into play, you, or whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, get an energy. And you pay 8 and create a 6/6 colorless beast artifact token.
Oh, so you're running that guy in that deck now?
Yeah, just like as a one of.
All I know is, like, I was playing with Remy. I think I ended up dying pretty consistently with, like, 12 energy, 13 energy. And I'm like, geez, maybe I want to run something, anything that can use this energy effectively. Whether that is going to be a couple of the Dynavolt Towers, or if it's going to be a card like this Deadlock Trap. I think this Deadlock Trap would probably be stronger, to be fair.
You could also just toolbox it and get a. It's like use the three artifacts that use energy, the Deadlock Trap, the Dynavolt Tower, and the Aetherworks Marvel.
Maybe.
I mean, if you like think about it, activating the Aetherworks Marvel and then like hitting a big thing that triggers off of Panharmonicon.
Well, this deck doesn't have the Panharmonicon in it, remember?
You just said you were playing with Panharmonicon.
The life gain one
Oh,
is what I thought I
okay.
said. The Aetherworks.
No, you're talking
Did
about
I
the.
say Panharmonicon?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I meant the Aetherworks Reservoir deck.
Wow,
Is
dude.
the deck
No wonder you're
a
losing.
whole deck?
You don't even know what cards you're playing.
One that gains 50 life and shoots them in the balls. That's the deck I'm playing.
And you're playing with Mardu?
No. I'm playing. It's the base blue.
Okay.
But we're. It's basically the list that you sent. We adjusted the creature base like we talked about to split the Heralds of Kozilek and the artifact guy,
Right.
right? And then we put in the two red white planeswalkers like we talked about to kind of try to toolbox it a little bit more. And it's the list that you sent. And like I said, I'm just getting in these weird situations where I just can't seem to get the action card to push us over. I think it relies too much on the spell that bounces stuff to your hand so you can replay it. Without that card, it's terrible.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Because you have to have something to get the ball rolling. Like, once you start picking up steam, you can't stop it, right? The problem is that pebble in the way and you get disrupted, it just seems to not be able to roll at all, at least in my experience. We need to fiddle with it and see if we can't get there. I like the idea a lot with it, but yeah, that's the deck I'm in, and that's where I'm running into these deck trap.
All right.
Because of all the the blue puzzle knots, they generate the energy. The green puzzle knot generates the energy. I think there's something, the land that we have in there generates an energy. Like, I have all this stuff that generates energy on, and that's where I'm thinking something like Deadlock Trapper or the other guy would be really strong. Monicum decks, I'm pretty sure the red-white one's correct. But I want to use. Just looking at me like I'm crazy.
I just had like a 5-second just blank of what you were saying.
Like a huge lag spike, yeah.
Yep.
The changes that Google has made to the Google Hangouts has definitely affected it. Because we talked for 15 minutes before we started recording, didn't have any problems. As soon as we hit this start broadcast button, we started having issues. Anyway, I would like you to talk to me about Lost Legacy and why it is your troll card this week.
All right. So this week at FNM, I was playing basically Rakdos Eldrazi Gearhulks, more or less. I was using the Eldrazi for Reality Smasher and Thought Not Seer and the black and red Gearhulks. But then sideboard, I had 3 Lost Legacies. And damn near every game, I brought in all 3. And it completely just... Once you know what your opponent is doing, if you just shut it down, and they have no other win condition other than the 1 or 2 cards that you named, you basically just sit there and you're just like, oh, well, I guess Chandra can win me the game now. Or, you know, this right. Gearhulk can win me the game. And, oh, man, I put this dude so far on tilt in one of our games. Like, he didn't even want to play the third match. Like, that's how far he was. So, first game, he beat me. Second game, I bring in Harsh Scrutiny and Lost Legacy, knowing, so I brought in the Harsh Scrutinies, knowing that he was playing a graveyard deck. Like with the Scrap Heap Scrounger, Haunted Dead, Prized Amalgam.
The deck I've been playing.
Yeah, knowing full well he was playing that deck. I brought in Harsh Scrutinies and Lost Legacies. And so turn one, I played Harsh Scrutiny. He's like, did you purposely bring that in? I was like, yeah, dude, I got a plan. He's like, all right, seems bad. Turn 3, I played Lost Legacy, calling Haunted Dead, and he goes, all right, I said, I can still come back from this. That's what he said. He's like, I can still come back from this. Turn 4, I played I top decked the Lost Legacy and called Elder Deep Fiend. He's like, well, I still have Scrap Heat Scrounger. Get me there. Every time he played it, I just killed it with spot removal. And And then eventually I played the combustible Gear Hulk. And I was like, well, you want me to take you want to take damage, or can I draw three? By the way, I love Browbeat on a 6/6. But yeah, then after that, he let me draw cards, so I drew my third Lost Legacy, and I called the prized amalgam. He's just like, you know what, I'm done with this game. He just picks up his cards and he starts putting them in the case. I was like, bro, don't you want to play game three? He's like, no, I don't want to play game three. I was like, so I win 2-1. He's like, you can put it down as 2-0. I don't even give a shit anymore. Like, he just gets up, and I'm like, all right, dude, I've been playing Magic with you for about a year, and that's the first time I've ever seen him salty.
Yeah, well.
So that's my troll card.
Like, Lost Legacy and the 2-mana one that you look at their hand and the card greater than 3.
Yeah. Transgress the Mark.
Like, these are the kind of cards that go in the sideboard of my Mardu deck, like, all the time, right?
Yeah.
The reason I'm not playing Lost Legacy right now is because I'm trying to get away from double black casting cost cards.
Nah, you
White
need it.
White is super strong, but I'm very tempted to put these in. I've been using Pick the Brain, I think is what it's called.
Yeah.
And it is not as good.
Nope.
So I am seriously thinking about going back to Lost Legacy for that. Ability to redraw cards just doesn't matter. Like,
it
if
doesn't.
You eat enough of their win cons, then...
Yeah, because that game that we were playing, when I called it, I knew that he had 2 Haunted Deads in his hand. Because, you know, I played Harsh Scrutiny, and I got the prized amalgam away, because I was like, all right, whatever. This can be in your graveyard, that's fine.
Right.
So I was like, all right, I'll take those. And then go ahead and draw 2. It didn't matter.
Right. It's like, go ahead, draw. What are you going to get? Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Another card that I think is really good right now that a lot of people aren't playing is that Eldrazi Flaying Tendrils, I think it's called.
Oh, yeah, I have that in the side.
-2/-2, and they're exiled.
Yep.
If they die this turn. Also very, very strong right now. So these are the kind of reasons why I can't seem to get away from the Mardu. My standard deck right now. It's just I'm really, first of all, Dynavolt Tower I think is more of, but I'm gonna pull an Obelix list. We kinda talked about that a little bit last week, I think. I'm gonna figure out how to make cuts around. And probably cut out, maybe even cut him out altogether. I don't know if he's needed.
Which one's
anymore.
That?
Obelix list.
I dropped him down to 1.
Yeah, like I said, I'm trying to decide if I'm going to do that or figure out something else. But Dynavolt Tower is just so good.
Just getting
like an extra, you know, half of a card every time you play a spell is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, well, and you know, like I said, if you have a Dynavolt Tower in play and you cast Harsh Scrutiny, you get to look at their hand, so you gain knowledge. You can potentially disrupt it. You get to scry. And then if it's in play, you get 2 energy.
I was just going to say, you might have to repeat that. You just had a huge lag spike for like 4 seconds.
Sweet.
I think your point is pretty important. So can you give me this one more time?
So, like I said, if you're playing Harsh Scrutiny, at the very worst, you get card knowledge. But then you also have the ability to disrupt their hand, and then you can scry. And then, if Dynavolt Tower is in play, you get energy off of it as well.
Well, and think about how many times, I mean, 5 energy, you get a Lightning Bolt. Like, there's pretty easy for these spell-heavy control decks, like what I've... Again, the Mardu deck that runs the Declaration in Stones, the harness lightnings, all these various 2 and 3 mana removal spells, and they turn around. They also have like these 2 mana, 3 mana card draw spells. Like these things, they add up very quickly, and something like a Volt Tower, especially when you're looking at decks right now that have things like a Spell Queller. It's getting this fight down a Dynavolt Tower. I'm going to try to use a removal spell on your guy. You're going to try to Spell Queller it. Well, I'm going to let my trigger resolve, and I'm going to Lightning Bolt your Spell Queller. Now what are you going to do? These weird situations where Dynavolt Tower just puts you so far ahead where so many other decks just can't deal with it. So cards like Lost Legacy, Transgress the Mind, all these things that give you a plan against your opponent, take them off a plan. Like, oh crap, they know now what I want to do. They know the order in which I want things to kind of play out. Do I need to shift mindsets or should I just stay on that plan? Well, if I stay on that plan, they know what it's going to be. Like, it puts a lot more pressure on them than I think people realize. With stuff like those, look at your hand, discard, exile it. And I think you get a lot of value out of those right now. Especially when the most popular two decks are the green-black Delirium deck.
Mm-hmm.
And this graveyard deck, this black-red graveyard deck. Kind of means, you know, hey, these kind of effects are very good right now.
Right. And then when you just, even with the Delirium deck, you call Lost Legacy on cards that are in the graveyard, and that slows it down.
Right. Things like, if you hit the Delirium deck, like Ishkana, boom, the new Emrakul, right? Like, you hit these 2 or 3 pieces, something like cast Lost Legacy, hit go for Ishkana, look through their deck, pull those out, and then you the very next turn you do something like Goblin Dark Dwellers and hit their what do they have left? They're gonna try to ultimate Lily.
Right.
Like that's their win condition they have left?
Yes, the 2, maybe 3 of Lilies.
Put you in the situation where you can come in from the side and take over the game. So it's a card I considered putting in the main. I've been thinking about taking out the destroy target creature with the additional cost of Awaken a Land. I can't think what they call it. The sorcery speed murder.
Okay, yeah, Ruinous Path.
I've been thinking about taking out Ruinous Path and putting in Lost Legacy in the main.
Yeah, well, and like the thing is with Standard right now, if you're playing like one of those top tier decks or even tier 2 decks, based off of the land base, and
a good idea what they're playing.
Yeah, it's generally like, okay, you're playing this combination of lands. You're either playing Aetherworks Marvel, you're playing Blue White Flash, you're playing Delirium, or you're playing some sort of Rakdos aggro. In which case, Lost Legacy will get Emrakul, Ishkana, Smuggler. No, he can't name an artifact.
He can't get Smuggler Sculptor.
Right.
Like, the only card it really doesn't hurt, or the only deck it hurts the least, would be
the Rakdos deck.
Well, I was going to say the big artifact deck.
Yeah.
That's in the Aetherworks Marvel. That's the only deck that really doesn't hurt.
No, it hurts the Marvel deck because if you call Emrakul or Ulamog.
Not the Marvel deck, the Colossus deck.
Just
plays like the vehicles and then the Metalwork Colossus.
Yeah.
For free. That's the deck that it doesn't hurt. I don't see a lot of people, at least around here, playing it. I know it's kind of popular online. So.
But even in that case, you can have 2 Pick the Brains in the sideboard. So that way, if you have Delirium going, you can call the Colossus and exile it that way.
Yeah.
If it's
then you can do a lot of stuff. You can also just also have access to, again, what's the card called that exiles it? Else?
Lag Spike.
The one that I've been playing all year, the exile effect for three or greater. I cannot think of the
transgress the mind.
I cannot think of names. My name spring things totally blown out. You kind of talked about Friday Night Magic. How did you end up? What was your final record?
3-2. The first game I lost was actually to the dude who took first. And he took first playing that deck at game day. And it's a just mono-red big stuff. And, I mean, he really, like, on average, he gets the 4-drop Chandra out on turn 3, Reality Smasher on turn 4. Or no, it was a Combustible Gear Hulk on turn 4.
Nothingness.
Yeah. And he went 5-0. The other person I lost because I basically didn't draw any lands. Like, I have 25 in the deck. Figured, you know, that's enough, but I only saw 4 during both of our games.
Yeah, I've been having a lot of man issues myself. I don't know what's going on with me this draft season. But we've talked about how it seems like I'm on this losing streak lately.
Yep.
And intentionally drafted a deck that I should have probably been blue. But like we've talked about before, I was going to try not drafting the blue deck in Kaladesh draft and see what it got me. He passed blue cards and kept cards that were maybe less good. And my person to the right of me was like convinced I was in the blue deck. The stuff that he passed me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like he passed me the 4/3 flyer. He passed me a malfunction. Me a gift of genius. He passed me a really sweet blue deck. And he just assumed that I would be in it until pack 2 when he figured out that I was not. And he was trying to figure out what I took. Well, I ended up taking the Unlawful Disintegration that he passed me in pack 2 was, and just kind of ran with it. But I just got in these weird situations where it didn't matter what I wanted to do, tried to do, whatever. I could not get lands. This really low deck or a really low to the ground deck with a good aggressive curve, I would just sit there and not be able to play Magic. And I do not understand what's going on. Finally, basically I won every game that I had to get to 4 mana without flooding out. I was able to win every game of Magic that happened like that. Unfortunately, except for the very last round, it happened 2 games in a row. So I do not understand. And I was all the way along. I started at 16 lands. I went up to 17 lands. I went down to 15 lands. It didn't seem to matter how many lands I had in the deck. I just wasn't allowed to get any. So I guess I'm just going to go back to drafting whatever I think is good and then just plan on not winning right now.
Yeah.
I do not know. Either that or I'm just going to take all the 1 and 2 drops.
Yeah, just like ramp them.
Just play like a 10 land deck or something.
Just out-tempo them.
Just like... just take everything that costs 1, 2... put my Kirby 3 mana and just have as many aggressive creatures as I can.
Yeah.
Just see what happens. I cannot, for the life of me, figure out what the hell. But, you know, this format is... This season of Kaladesh Draft is beating me.
Right.
What to do to fix it. If you have suggestions, send me an email. twotrollsbrew@gmail.com because I would love to have other people's input. I'm a big watcher of the pros draft, and I haven't had a lot of time to do that this season. And I think that's probably what's really hurting me. Not getting in, because I can't afford to draft like these other guys do on Magic Online or whatever. So I have to, watching other people draft and hearing their thought process, I think is a big help for me. And I just over like crazy. So you have a note here. Rakdos Eldrazi. Is it back?
No, it's just the deck that I was playing for FNM.
Okay. Okay. So you're just running like that colorless red black Eldrazi?
More or less. Hold on. Because you know how prepared I am and how I always plan things ahead of time. Well, this is no different. Let me just throw this aside. But no, it's like basically the deck I was running. It was majority removal spells, and then the end game with Thought Not Seers, Reality Smashers, Noxious Gear Hulk, Combustible Gear Hulk, and Goblin Dark Dwellers. Oh, good.
And you said you basically went 4-1?
3-2.
3-2.
So, yeah, and a card that really surprised me at how well it is, Essence Extraction. Like, it's a removal
I've been
spell
running
that...
a couple of them in my Mardu deck.
Yeah.
I really like it.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous how many times that actually saved me in the games. Because it's just...
That gaining three life is relevant.
Right. Especially when you're playing the two colors known most for not gaining life. Red and black. And then having that in the deck is just... I mean, like I said, out of nowhere, you're like, oh, by the way, I'm back in the game and you're down a creature. Here's my menace guy.
Yeah, I like it. I don't know if that's how I would build Rakdos.
Now, this was just my
I do
first,
really like the card.
This was just my first version of it.
So I'm going to put you down a path here real fast, and okay. I want you to see where your brain goes.
Okay.
Because I was talking with Remington about this while we were doing some practice last week, and we were talking about to fix the Pan, or not the Pan, I'm on the gun, the Aether Reservoir deck,
mm-hmm.
Right? What we were to get away from Aether Reservoir as a win condition, and instead we switched it to the 3-1 Eldrazi ping your opponent, but then that untaps whenever, right? So if we switch those around, the Panharmonicon, it would get two untaps. No, it wouldn't. It would still just get one untap.
Right.
Because it's a cash trigger. But right. You kind of take advantage of the same things and maybe run the red guy, the 1/3, who when an artifact enters the battlefield. So you could double up that way by casting the puzzle knots that we've been casting with these Panharmonicon triggers. Ping extra damage down. Like that. And I didn't know if maybe that would be something that would go down your alley, because again, I think this would be a Rakdos draw type deck, right? To keep your card, keep yourself flush with like the black puzzle knot, keep doing the damage with like the red puzzle knot. And you would still use like similar things, with the artifact guy that lowers artifact costs. And just kind of keep going down that chain. I thought if anyone was going to be able to get a little bit more, it'd be you. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, like the artifact ping dude, he wouldn't really help me in this deck because I only have 6 artifacts. Again, the majority of it is.
I'm thinking more like your older blue-based artifact.
Yeah. Well, and
Aetherworks Marvel.
If I was, yeah. If I was Aetherflux Reservoir.
Yeah. Sorry, Aetherflux Reservoir. Too many things have found the same to my brain hole.
Yeah, like if I was gonna run that dude in a deck, I would just do the Virtuoso combo. That's one where you pay 3 energy and right. You create a dude.
One that makes energy and you keep going.
Right. Yeah, if I was going to run him, I'd just put him in that deck and just try and combo out with that.
Yeah, I mean, again, when I was sitting there thinking about it, the idea of making artifacts very much, you know, cost a lot less, right?
Mm-hmm.
If ever managed to make an artifact cost zero, they're incredibly good.
Mm-hmm.
At one, they're pretty good. At two, they're okay. They're usually not great at two. But start casting artifacts for one or zero, and you start casting or putting things in it like the different tools, right? Because, like, he's the best guy to play with vehicles, I think. Like, you play a vehicle, trigger on the stack, to do a point of damage, you untap him, and then you can equip that vehicle if you need to.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if it's one of the numerous vehicles that have hate or whatever. So, I don't know. I just think it could use some fleshing out. Kind of wanted to ear or bug in your ear and see what you might think, because I have a feeling there's a deck there. You also had the advantage running, again, we've talked about this before, but having the advantage of running all that special taps for colorless, unless you play a devoid spell, and then it costs for any color.
Yeah.
So if it lets you kind of have a range land for your devoid spells, things like the 3 mana burn spell that exiles a creature. Not every card is perfect. But I think that card's really, really good right now.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with all of these graveyard decks being super popular. Stuff like that. And having that ability to, like, activate a vehicle, attack with the vehicle, and then untap that guy after combat, I think is just really good, really strong.
Right.
And he's a 3-1, and he kind of does damage on his own. And if you were to couple that with fat guys and artifact creatures, again, like the other deck was kind of set up, where it was a little bit more like puzzle knot heavy and stuff like that, I think it could be really strong. But I don't know exactly where I want to go with it. Things in that deck, like the 6-mana Gear Hulks, like the Nauseous Gear Hulk and the Red Gear Hulk.
Right.
It would be good, I think. Anyway, I don't know. I just wanted to put that out there. It was something we were kicking around the other day, and I thought it could be good. The other thing I kind of want to talk to you about is, remember last week, Nathan and I were working on a deck, a red-white Panharmonicon deck.
Yeah.
And I said we have to kind of do some playtesting to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I sat down and I played him with the red black discard deck, the graveyard deck.
Yeah.
And he crushed me in and out of 10 games. It's just nice. Super resilient. I cannot be more impressed with the strength of the deck. The games that I was able to steal, essentially, or take control over, came down to, like, not using a Gideon emblem right away. Or not using Gideon right away to make an emblem. Instead, making a 2/2, which gave me the opportunity on my turn to kill. And then dealing with a 2/2 is relatively trivial.
Mm-hmm.
There's a thing to be said about dropping that 5-mana angel and going 4 3/3s and my 3/2 angel.
Yeah.
Deal with it.
Right.
It is incredibly difficult to deal with. We had to make some cuts. Like, we had to get rid of the Red Gear Hulk. After doing some testing, it just wasn't good enough. And no matter how many times, it's like 6 browbeats on a stick. I'm trying to think what we ended up replacing. We added the 4th angel.
Okay.
And we made a couple other little tweaks, but really taken with this deck. And I would be really tempted to borrow this thing for a GPT or stuff like that. Which, speaking of which, I think there's one in Hayes coming up. This weekend, actually.
Do it.
I might
go.
Have to consider going. It's a long drive. I might have to reach out and see if
it's 2 hours.
It's going. Oh, sorry. I shouldn't make suicide jokes on stream, but me in the car 2 hours is pretty bad.
I'm about to drive for 8.
A special kind of person. I can't do it.
Yeah. It's like a 6-hour drive to Denver. So, it's not that bad.
What are you doing? Haven't really talked about the GP Denver. What's your plans? I don't even know what the format is for the GP. I don't know anything.
Standard.
So what do you think about taking?
If I can get this more efficient, I'm going to take the Rakdos Eldrazi.
Okay.
But if I can't, then I'm just going to build the same deck that the dude's been wrecking here with, which is the Big Red.
Okay. I think the Big Red deck's probably good. I've played it on again, off again. I haven't played it since Kaladesh just came out, but...
Yeah, Chandra, Torch of Defiance, amazing.
Yeah, she's done a lot of work. She's free-falling right now, so now might be a good time to pick them up if you need them. But, yeah, I don't know. I think if it was me, I would be looking at this red-white Panharmonicon deck. It seems like it's got against so much of the format. But, to be fair, I'd probably take my Mardu control deck. Because I just had so many reps with it over the year and a half it's been legal, essentially.
Right.
There's a card here, game the card there. But, for the most part, it's basically the same deck.
Take it this weekend. Go for it, child.
I'll have to see. Like I said, it's a long ways to go. I think a lot of the
fruits of the destruction.
Something. We'll see. We'll see. It depends on whether or not there's a seat open and if I can convince myself to do it. Before we get to the game and the end of the show this week, change. Did you go see Doctor Strange?
We'll try again. No. I'm going to see it
in
tomorrow.
Denver?
Or maybe even tonight if there's a 9 o'clock showing.
Oh, there probably will be. I mean, I don't know what your terrible theaters are like, but...
Awful.
We went to the IMAX like we talked about on Friday. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. It was like an eyegasm.
Yeah.
It was so good. I was talking to Nathan about it, and I said, yeah, I'd probably go back to see it again in IMAX. He's like, so you want to go Wednesday? So I might be driving to Wichita again Wednesday to go rewatch it.
Okay, IMAX. So you'll drive good. To Wichita, but you won't drive to Hayes.
I will let somebody drive me to Wichita. Like, it would be in his car, probably, with his gas and his Volkswagen four-cylinder.
Oh, don't talk trash on that bug, because those things are so much fun to drive.
I'm not. I'm saying I would probably take his, or we'd take his vehicle that costs like a nickel to get there and back, instead of like my truck that would literally cost me a testicle to go there and back.
Right.
So I don't know.
His testicles are old, and nobody wants old testicles.
Well, I mean, that's not true. Everyone loves my testicles. They're the best testicles. They're the great testicles that ever were. We're going to make these testicles great again.
Yeah.
All right. So do we have anything else in particular before we move into the game and closing the show up for the week?
No.
All right. Well, this is Two Trolls and a Brew.
Go ahead with the closing.
Okay. Two Trolls and a Brew. Check out past episodes at samusgarobo.com. A lot of these episodes are available at youtube.com/samusgarobo if you'd like the video podcast, which is where like Travis and I make faces and like hand gestures and like show cards to each other.
Like this.
Like that. So
Evolving Wilds.
I like Evolving Wilds. I think it's a good one. But like I'll like play with my little Iron Man figurines. Woo! It's an interesting way to interact. You can send us an email, the number 2trollsbrew@gmail.com. Of course, you can check us out at Twitter. I'm Samus Garobo. He's TurtlePower319. And of course, you can check out the Twitter or the Twitch feed, twitch.tv/SamusGarobo. We stream all sorts of things there starting at 9 a.m. Monday through Friday. Dungeons and Dragons at 6 o'clock, unless I have a PPTQ that I have to run or some sort of magic tournament I have to run. So basically lots of ways to interact with us and the show and the stream. Appreciate you spending time with us, and I hope you enjoy the show. So, or you had something else before this?
Yeah. So this actually ties into the game. Speaking of making things great again, which Magic card do you think would be a better president?
All of them.
All 20,000.
So, like, I figured what we could do is we could both go through a pile of cards, right? Because I'm assuming you have a pile of cards handy, and I know a pile of cards handy.
Yeah, I'm shuffling
it right now. So the first card I have here is Agent of the Fates. So assuming Agent of the Fates was an actual person, right? The flavor text is, you are breathing borrowed air.
Okay.
Better or worse, as President of the United States, than the two major party candidates.
Let me see.
Literally, it's a death toucher.
Okay.
You cast a spell that targets Agent of the Fates. Each opponent sacrifices a creature. Like, this feels like the embodiment of black to me.
Mm-hmm.
A 2-3-2. Would this make a better or worse president than Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump?
Better.
If it was an actual life person.
Better.
High Priest of Penance.
Penance?
Penance. P-E-N-A-N-C-E. Penance?
Yeah, Penance.
Okay. So it's a 2-mana 1/1. Says all I require is faith, loyalty, obedient trust, and complete and utter devotion.
No, worse.
Okay. We found a worse pile. Killing right. Everybody, fine. Not cool.
Yeah, yeah, but forced worship, horrible.
Your turn.
Duskwatch Recruiter.
Okay. Does it have flavor text?
It doesn't have flavor text. You don't need flavor text.
It turns into a werewolf.
Yeah, that's a downside.
Probably better. No, I think it's probably still fine. Maybe it accidentally gets into Congress on a full moon.
It just kills everybody.
Everybody seems fine.
Ugh, sorry, everyone.
If this guy is better, then werewolf is better.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Give me another one.
I'm looking for actual creatures. Oh. Soul Swallower. Oh wait, no, that one's Hillary.
How mean. How mean.
Let me grab a different stack.
Okay. How about Garoff's Masterpiece?
Gerolf's.
Gerolf? I was going to say Gear-Alf. Gear-Alf.
Whatever.
Gerolf. Whatever.
Geronimo.
It's the 7-7 flying zombie whore. It gets -1/-1 for each card in your hand. Discard 3 cards. Return from your to the battlefield from your graveyard tapped. It is like the Frankenstein fly hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have flavor text.
No flavor text. What's it? It flies.
It flies. It's a zombie flying.
No. You had me at flying. Okay. That's instantly better than what both Trump and Hillary can do. Yeah. Better president.
But
it can fly. Built-in flying.
Think about a spider.
Other people will fear us now.
Hang on. Frankenstein monster. Frankenstein monster with extra arms and legs and giant insect wings around making presidential decisions.
Go for it. At least we know the mosquito population's going down.
Better president. Clinton. All right.
I have Veteran Explorer.
Oh, definitely. We'll vote.
Oh, better? Okay.
It's a veteran. Better. Already better than both candidates.
Yeah.
Is automatically, in my eyes, greater than a draft dodger and an individual who has gotten people killed, including starting a couple of wars that we didn't need to start.
Yep.
Take a veteran that has been on the front lines any day.
All right. How about Kami of the Crescent Moon?
Crescent Moon. First of all, it doesn't wear pants. Shows an awful lot of butt cheeks.
Got my vote.
I mean, because of Anthony Weiner's laptop, do we really need to have our president run around with no pants too?
Okay, but here's the flavor text. He's a lot like me. He's a lot like me, that masterless little commie, unimpressed by grandeur and never at a loss for a trick.
Think I can do it. I don't think I could pull the lever for the
naked.
All right,
fine. We'll put the naked person to the side, even though clothes are just the government's way of shaming people for existing.
How about exclusive or exclusive tormentor? Elusive tormentor. Sorry.
Okay.
Elusive tormentor. Is a vampire wizard. Older vampires are used in the newly sired, calling upon ancient magic. Neonates lack patience. So basically, this is an old vampire who uses all sorts of magic to, like.
Okay.
Feels like a Clinton.
Yeah, I was just like, I don't really want that.
So worse?
Yeah, worse.
Do one more.
All right. Goblin Trenches.
Okay.
So here's
goblins, right?
Yeah. So you pay two, you sacrifice a land, and you put two goblins into play. It's an enchantment, and the flavor text on it is, even if we dislodge them, I fear these lands will never yield crops again.
All right, I'm down. All right, here we go. I would probably take him. I'd probably take him. Slaughter.
Take him.
Well, hang on. Don't get too hasty.
Nope. Accepted.
Sacrifice.
New president.
Have to sacrifice a creature at the beginning of each turn.
Oh, well.
All right,
my opponents will. My opponents will have to sacrifice a creature.
Right.
Take that, everyone
With
else.
Two shots to the back of the head in the suicide note.
Right. That's not my issue.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for hanging out with us this week. Don't forget to vote. Not that you'll probably have an opportunity to see this unless you catch it on YouTube.
Or that your vote will matter because it's going to be rigged anyways.
Come on, man. You gotta have hope that the system is still gonna work.
I did have hope last election. And then I had hope going into this one. But then that just all fell apart earlier this year. So, no, there's no hope. I was hoping that both of them would be disqualified by now for being who they are as people. But the government has failed me there. Troll on, everybody.
Troll on, everybody.